Chapter 3. One of a thousand pagan blasphemies excluded from the redemption of Obroa Sky, the Museum of Applied Photonics rose above the surrounding bug yards in a glittering massif of transperisteel towers and crystalplast galleries. Though Numanor had spent too much time among the infidels to find the site offensive, he knew better than to let his comfort with the place show. He paused at the threshold to cast a yearning glance out over the droning black plain, then put on a sneer of disgust and followed his escorts into the lobby, where 100 verpine captives stood watching their Yuuzhan Vong guards with unfathomable insectoid eyes. After a brief conversation with the subaltern of the detachment, Numanor's escorts led him through a maze of corridors profanely lit by wandering balls of pure light. They found Savong La in a chamber surrounded by what looked like 100 kilometers of snarled, translucent threads. A fully tattooed warrior with fringed lips and bone-implanted armor, the Wormmaster was holding a small holopad in his hand, gazing at its projector disc with a look most others would reserve for cowards and slaves. "Now," he said into the instrument. Savong La had barely spoken before an instantaneous flash lit the whole thread tangle, then leapt through the empty air into the holopad. A millisecond later, the full-sized image of an infidel X-wing appeared over his hand, obscuring the Warmaster's upper body and much of the room. The starfighter turned slowly toward the door and opened fire. Only Numanor did not duck for cover.
"Do you know what I'd do with this, were I the infidels?" Savong La asked, speaking from inside the hologram.
"Destroy it, I am certain," Numanor answered. "Such lifeless things are an abomination to the gods. I cannot tell you how it disgusted me to abide them while I prepared the way for our invasion."
"We all do what is necessary, Executor, and you have already been commended for enduring the enemy's filth."
Savong La's tone was irritated and perhaps a little distracted.
"We cannot defeat what we do not understand. For instance, our coral skipper pilots could easily be misled by an image such as this. Were I the enemy, the galaxy would be littered with these devices."
"The galaxy is littered with them," Numanor answered, bristling. "They're not really much to admire, Great One. They are as limited in their capacities as are our enemies."
The X-wing vanished. Then Savong La dropped the holopad to the floor and crushed it beneath the armored Vuasa claw that he now stood upon in place of the foot taken by Jason Solo.
"The enemy has proven challenging enough to thwart you several times."
The Warmaster's voice was full of loathing.
A true believer in the supremacy of the Yuuzhan Vong gods, he disavowed the influence of chance and viewed any failure as a sign of the instrument's spiritual decadence.
"I trust that was not the case this time. The Chilab worked beautifully."
Numanor tipped his head to one side, then covered his nostrils and blew air into his sinuses. Though he lacked the faith to truly enjoy the pain of the neural grub's detachment, he feigned a smile of satisfaction as the thing tore its dendrites from his optic chiasma and exited through his nasal cavity. He let it drop into his palm, then presented it to Savong La.
"I had a good view on the way in. I am certain the Chilab's memories will prove useful in planning your attack." "No doubt."
Savong La slipped the grub into the pocket of the sharp-clawed cape clinging to his shoulders.
"I will view them later. Your meeting with Leia Solo went well?"
"Very well." It would have been unthinkable to answer anything else. "I have no doubt that the Jedi will respond to our challenge."
"You are more confident than I would be in your place," a wispy voice said, low and behind him. "The Jedi will smell our trap and be wary."
Numanor turned and saw Motley Featherball hopping past the guards on thin, reverse-jointed legs. Her willowy ears and corkscrew antennae bestowed on her a vaguely moth-like aspect, though Numanor considered her a pest more on the magnitude of a rodank.
Vergeer,
he fumed, I was not aware you knew the ways of the Jedi. Vergeer knows them better than I, Sawang-la said. She was the one who said the Jedi would let you live. I believed they would kill you outright.
You were perhaps closer to the truth than your pet.
Nomanor refused to call Vergeer an aide, for the peculiar little creature was no more than the familiar of an agent who had perished during an ill-fated attempt to disease the Jedi. She had become an advisor to Sawang-la after a brief captivity in the hands of New Republic Intelligence, where she managed to learn as much about the enemy in a few weeks as had Nomanor in all his years as an agent provocateur. Questions had been raised about her loyalties, but once the reliability of her information had been established, she had quickly become Nom Anor's greatest rival.
Lea Solo and her consort did attempt to kill me, as you expected, Nom Anor continued, but I was able to play on her human emotions to save my life.
So now you can control the emotions of the Jedi, Vergeer marked. Then perhaps you should make them surrender.
One can lure a Tana into the spatter pit with a smile and soft words.
Nomanor spread his hands and turned to Sawang-la. Even I cannot persuade it to lay its neck in the cleaving yoke. The War Master rewarded him with a curt nod. I am more interested in what Lea Solo said than why you are still alive. How did she respond when the gift of anguish destroyed the infidels?
She wanted to kill me.
But she did not, the War Master observed. What did she do instead?
I convinced her she would also be killing millions of refugees.
Even Nomanor realized he was clinging to the claim a little too closely, perhaps because of the shame he had already suffered at Leia's hands on Duro.
She yielded.
Not yielded. She refused to accept blame.
Vergeer stated her rebuttal as fact, not supposition. She hopped over to Sawang-la.
She's been a diplomat all her life. For her to fall into such a trap would be akin to you flying into an ambush.
Sawang-la considered her argument for only an instant.
It may appear so, but something else is happening.
He looked over Vergeer's feathery back at Nomanor.
She let you live for a reason. What is it?
The answer, of course, was because she had given her word, but Nomanor knew better than to say so. Such an answer would contradict the opinion the War Master had expressed earlier. And while a Yuuzhan Vong subordinate could insinuate, thwart, even subvert and still hope to live, he could never contradict. Sometimes Nomanor wondered if the infidel's way was not better, and he supposed the fact that he did not immediately cower in fear of the god's retribution was in itself a sign that he had spent too long away from his people. Leaving aside for the moment the question of why he had been forced to endure the painful introduction of the Chilab if the War Master had not expected him to return, Nomanor shrugged.
Before she released me, she gave me a warning. She said to tell you that the Jedi accept no responsibility for the hostages, and that any emissary you send with a similar threat will not be returned.
If Sawang-la noticed the slight contradiction of Nomanor's contention that he had been the one controlling Leia, he showed no sign. He simply looked to Vergeer.
Right again, my servant.
She smiled up at him.
Have I not said the Jedi will prove worthy foes?
You have indeed, the War Master said, but the refugees will be their undoing yet. They will become the wedge that drives the New Republic away from the Jedi.